Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. And at 5:20 or a little after, Todd Walker, former LSU great, now on the SEC Network, will come on and talk to us certainly about the Tigers, how they shape up in Hoover, Alabama, and projections of how they can get in. And I think they're going to get in now. You hit that 13 mark. I think because of who you are, the defending national champs, because of that lure of LSU and getting to the 13 mark, I think you're in the
tournament. How many of them get in, Mike, of those 13-win teams? There's five of them. Do all five get in?
I was going to say four.
So there's a pecking order, right? And the D1 baseball guys were talking about this on their Nerdcast, which projected the field to 64, and that's how they got to LSU. And we'll talk with Todd about this as well. If you're looking at it, Alabama, Florida, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and LSU all finished with 13 wins. Will they take all five? If they take all five, then the SEC will get 11 teams in the field of 64, which is crazy to think about.
But maybe, it could happen.
And Todd has covered the SEC all year. Maybe he thinks that will be the case. There are a couple of teams that I think have fallen off a little bit. And South Carolina is one of those teams.
Yes.
Swept in back-to-back weekends. And now you're kind of slumping. If you're, you know, a seven-game losing streak, they might be the team that gets left out, potentially. Vanderbilt's also a team that's kind of fallen off a little bit. Florida, they had a huge series victory against Georgia to kind of stem their bleeding a little bit. And I think that they've basically fought themselves in. They had the number one, you know, strength of schedule of any team in the country. So you look at their record, it's not the most gaudy thing in the world, but they've also played the toughest schedule of any team. So I think they're probably in. And the RPIs for all these teams, by the way, are sub 30. So, you know, we talked with Mark Etheridge last week about it, and things could change in the conference tournaments. But as far as the RPI goes, the team with the lowest RPI to miss the NCAA tournament, the field of 64, was Etheridge said Kentucky in 2018 had a 30 RPI. No team sub 30 in the RPI has ever missed the field of 64 in the NCAA tournament. So maybe all five do get in. It's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at the pecking order, LSU has just come on super strong, 3-12 in those first five weekends of conference play, Mike. Since then, 10-5. And that first sweep, when they needed it most, they were at 10-17, and they take all three at home against Ole Miss to reach that 13-win mark.
They win tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Okay. If they win tomorrow morning and get to 14.
They're in.
Bingo.
They're in. Because Georgia is...
I think they're in already, but I think that would put the stamp on it that they're
yes.
in.
Georgia is in the conversation to be a top eight national seed.
Yes.
So if you take a win against them, and by the way, speaking of Georgia, Mike, you and I kind of debated this a couple weeks back about who's the best player in the country. Well, the best player in the conference is Charlie Condon, according to the SEC awards. He wins the SEC Player of the Year. He led the nation with a .451 batting average, also 35 home runs this season. So that's who LSU is going to have to face tomorrow morning. That's going to be tough.
Man, but I pitch around him.
Yeah, no, yeah. Give him the Barry Bonds treatment.
Yeah, no. I ain't letting him beat me. Let somebody else do it, but I'm not going to let him do it.
So we'll break down Georgia with Todd in a little bit here. But I'm with you. If they beat Georgia, I think they are firmly in. Right now, I would say...
I think they're in.
I don't even think they're necessarily on the right side of the bubble. I think they're in right now. Now, the bubble could shrink, right? If there are some teams that win their conference tournaments, that those single bid leagues, maybe double bid leagues, and they lose, you get those auto bids from some of those lower leagues, the bubble will start to shrink. But at the same time, some of those teams that are on the bubble right now, like the Coastal Carolinas, the Troys of the world, like those teams are going to be the ones affected before I think teams like LSU and Alabama and Vanderbilt and Florida and them.
Charlie, I'm going to answer this texter. He asked me about, other than offensive line play, what's the one thing that worries you the most, 2024 Saints? And I'm going to say it, lack of a pass rush. They didn't have it last year. Carl Granderson got you 8.5 sacks. He did his job. He was a guy you signed off the street, so to speak. He was an undrafted free agent, came here, and he's done a really good job. DeMario Davis was second with 6.5 sacks. Brian Bersaid, first-round pick, he got 4.5. Nobody else got more than 4 last year. This is why, you've kind of banked it a little bit with Chase Young, hoping that he can flash that and get you that pass rush. And also, too, the injury issue with Cam Jordan. He was not the same guy last year. So that, to me, is a major concern, because when you played the better teams with the better quarterbacks, they torched you.
Yeah,
they picked you apart.
Once again, when we were talking about Chase Young, I described his deal as a win-win, because if it works out for the Saints, excellent. Like, he can kind of parlay that into a big offseason deal with whoever he decides to sign with. So it's good for him, but at the same time, the Saints sign him on kind of a low-risk deal, because it's a one-year deal. You don't have him locked down past the season, and if he busts, then oh well. But if he booms, there is that potential that you can be adding a double-digit sack player to your team.
Somebody text me, okay, what about Peyton Turner? Go with that one. Man, I can't tell you about Peyton Turner. When he has been healthy, he has shown he can be a good NFL player. The problem is he can't stay healthy. Has not been able to show that on this football team. It is an issue, not in the same caliber as offensive line play, but it is the second biggest concern for me for the Saints going into the 2024 season. When we come back, we'll have on with us SEC Network former LSU great Todd Walker right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line, former LSU great, and now you see him, watch him on the SEC Network. Todd Walker does a great job there. Todd, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, guys. Great to be with you. How's it going? We're in Hoover right now. Matter of fact, I'm looking at the stadium as we speak.
And look, don't look like there'll be any kind of weather conditions, right? That's bad. We went through that.
Something's going to pop up, Mike. You know that.
Come on now, Charlie. You're trying to jinx them.
It's
now.
Every year. You jinxed them. It's every year in
no,
Hoover
I ain't
something
jinxed
that
them.
Happens.
I've been out here when it's 40 degrees and rainy and like looks like hurricane winds, and I've been here when it's 110 and like heat. I mean, it is crazy. But so we've had all kind of different weather conditions out here. This week's supposed to be pretty nice, and I got the night shift, so I can't be having these extra inning, you know, rain delays
right.
on into 2 o'clock in the morning.
Todd, before we get into LSU Georgia, your thoughts on what we've seen from Paul Skeens? It's been unbelievable. And just his poise for a young man out on the big stage. And, man, until you've been in his moccasins, to feel the pressure that he feels every time he hits that mound, because all eyes are on him, but he has handled this all so well.
Well, number one, people were saying that, right? He's ready for the big leagues right now. They were saying that last year, and then, of course, they were right. And the second thing is what you just said, it's a real thing, the pressure. He's making it look easy. I remember when I got into the big leagues for the first time and I got on third base in Baltimore and Cal Ripken said, "Hey, Todd, what's happening?" It shook me up for 2 weeks, man. I was like, oh, my God. So reality hits you, you know, and you know it's important and you know it's a life-changing deal and it's hard to get over sometimes. And it took me a minute, but Skeens just rolled it out. So clearly he's very talented. Yeah, happy for him.
Todd, when you look at, you know, what's happened over the weekend, Charlie and I talked about it. Man, just hoping maybe you could get two or three. This team had not won a weekend series all season long. But then you sweep Ole Miss, and everything sort of came together. You're pitching. But what you saw from Tommy White, man, he was white hot. And I think the most impressive thing, I told this to Charlie, he sort of runs like me, is the triple. Okay, you got two doubles, you got three home runs, yeah. The seven RBIs, but to get that triple, man, to see him in that final sort of take a bow in Alex Box, you couldn't have asked for anything better.
Well, and you would say it was Ole Miss, except the week before Ole Miss beat Texas A&M.
That's right.
So, I mean, that was a real team, you know, that came into Baton Rouge. Now, again, we all know it's a big advantage to play at home. And when Ole Miss was coming in, though, big-time players show up in big-time moments. And Tanks did it. Luke Holman did it. Gage jumped through. Like, he's been throwing for the past month or month and a half. And so you can see a scenario now where LSU is kind of coming together at the right time. Christian Little's pitching better. Ashton Larson was a nice piece of the offense they found. Milam's continued to do his thing. The two big bashers in the middle of that order with Travinsky and Jones can change the game with one swing. Look out. Don't let the Tigers get hot.
Todd, before we get into the preview about Georgia, I just want to talk about them as a team and how a win against this Bulldog squad could basically cement their spot in the field of 64. Because right now, you're looking at it, we talked off air about this, but right before we brought you on, five teams with 13 wins in the SEC is very, very log jammed. And maybe all five do make it. So that's going to be a side question for you as well, is how many of those teams do you expect to make it? But also with LSU playing Georgia, who is the sixth seed in the SEC, but they've gotten so hot, they're playing as well as anyone right now. They swept Vanderbilt, and then they swept South Carolina before losing 2-3 against Florida, who was a desperate team that needed to get above 500 just to get a chance at an at-large bid. This Georgia squad, I think, once again, Todd, a win against them in the single elimination part of the SEC tournament in Hoover would basically book LSU's ticket to the field of 64.
Correct. If they win tomorrow, the single elimination, and they beat Georgia, then LSU's in. If they lose, there's two other 13-win teams that's going to lose as well. Florida plays Vanderbilt, and Alabama plays South Carolina. My point is, out of the five that you just mentioned that have 13 wins in the conference, LSU is fifth on that list because their RPI is so high. It's like 30. And everybody else in that 13-win mark has a lower RPI, which is good for them. So LSU would have to win, and then, of course, at least two of them are going to lose because they're playing each other. So that bumps LSU into that third spot. If all five get in, like you just said, that'd be 11 teams from the SEC into the tournament. And I'm not sure that the committee's going to allow that. That would be a record, right? They've allowed, like, we had 10 in last year. But if LSU got in as the fifth best team in that 13-win mark, that would be 11 teams, and that would be a stretch. So I think LSU's so safe just because the other two teams are going to lose and it gets real complicated. But I think that LSU, if they won, if they beat Georgia, and clearly Georgia's, like, their RPI is top 10, that Georgia's offense is ridiculous. The pitching staff's not great, so I don't think they can really do any damage, you know, on into the postseason. But if they beat Georgia, yeah, they got a shot. But they got to dance around a few guys in that offense. The offense is as good as it gets.
And it starts with the SEC Player of the Year that was just announced a couple minutes ago here, Todd. Charlie Condon, who had 451 on the season, had 35 home runs. He just had a historic year for the Bulldogs. He was fantastic. To your point about Georgia, a couple things that stand out. Their pitching is not elite. It's not bad, but it's not elite. And they have about a 5.5 ERA, which is number 9 in the SEC. But their batting average is just behind Tennessee. And I remember we talked with you in previewing the Volunteers, the best offense in the SEC, one of the best offenses in the country. Georgia's right behind them at number 2. And the home runs are just so gaudy. I know that Hoover's a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly park. It's a little bit deeper than maybe where Georgia plays in Athens. But, I mean, once again, 140 home runs kind of speaks for itself there. So just get your thoughts on Georgia's offense and then also their pitching staff.
You're going to have to move around Charlie Connan with guys on base. So if first base is open, fully expect him to walk. If it's first and second with no outs, that's a tough decision, right? Because you can't just put him on and you can't really dance around the zone to load the bases. But they might choose to do that instead of splitting the plate on Charlie Condon. So you're going to be real careful with him. Corey Collins gets on base 60% of the time. That's off the charts on base percentage for Corey Collins. He can handle the bat. Dylan Goldstein can handle the bat in that lineup. And the Tate's kid is really good. So I think, you know, they got four guys that you really got to watch. We know the offense is good. This is not going to be a 2-1 game. It's going to be a high score. And the good news for LSU is their offense is equal to the task. And to your point, Georgia's bullpen especially is not that great. Leighton Finley has thrown well. We don't know the starters yet, unless you guys do. I haven't seen anything yet. I assume the Thursday starter. Georgia doesn't have to win this game as badly as LSU does. I think Georgia will host a regional. I think Georgia is one of the few teams in this field that are set regardless of what happens. So based on that, maybe they don't throw Leighton Finley and hold him. Maybe they don't throw Charlie Goldstein and they throw some random, you know, just to see if they can get by. But LSU's got to go full force ahead. I think they've got to throw Gaze Jump, and they've got to get this win.
Todd, Skip used to always talk about this, having the steady hand when things go wrong or are not quite like you wanted to. And your thoughts on how Jay Johnson has worked this team? Got so much expectations after winning a national championship, and it doesn't matter what you bring in or you lose. You feel that pressure too, because when you win one, then they want you to win 2, 3, 4, 5 along the way. How he's handled this season and having that steady hand behind the wheel?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, look, Jay Johnson, he wins it in his second full year. They lose the top two picks in the draft. They lose a Gold Glover and Trey Morgan. They lost probably what ended up being the best number two in the conference in Ty Floyd. 13 guys got drafted off last year's team, I believe. It's tough to replace. In fact, two of their most consistent hitters right now are two freshmen, Milam from New Mexico and the Ashton Larson kid. And so, you know, you've got to replace parts. Clearly, it's been a revolving door in a lot of spots. Jay Johnson, all year long, is constantly trying to figure out what's the best lineup and what's the best gives us our best chance to win, in addition to trying to find out who their third starter is going to be, and they still haven't found that out yet. But luckily for them, they've got a 1-2 that's pretty good now, Gaze Jump and Luke Coleman. They'll have to piece it together after that. But overall, I think Jay's done a really nice job, and I think what you said is right. He's really had to coach and figure this thing out this year. Last year, come on, man, you got some real talented kids. At some point, you just let them roll. But this year, he's really had to do, and I think he has done a very nice job of piecing it and putting it together on a team that lost so much off last year's team.
And Todd, if you listen to Jay talk all the time, he keeps mentioning the pitching has been the reason for their late season surge, right? When you start 3-12 in SEC play, you're really, you got kind of buried in this hole. but going 10-5 over their final 15 to reach that coveted 13 win mark. And it's been the pitching staff. Like, they found the pieces of the puzzle on the mound. You mentioned Luke Holman, you mentioned Gage Jump, but also out of the bullpen, I mean, Griffin Herring was a second team All-SEC performer this year as a closer for the team, but also Christian Little has emerged recently. Nate Ackenhausen is one of those guys too. I think that, you know, if you're looking at this matchup between LSU and Georgia, it's kind of almost become strength versus strength. LSU's got all the bullets on the mound that they can use for this game against one of the elite offenses, not only in the SEC, but in the country.
But in addition, you're going to have to be smart about it tomorrow. So it's a 9:30 a.m. game. My brain's not working right at 9:30. Somebody's going to have to do it. But look, when Charlie Conan comes to the plate, you got to figure it out. Just like I said, what are you going to do with first and second and one out? You going to walk him? You going to dance around? Or are you going to challenge him? All these decisions on the best hitter in the country is going to have to come up tomorrow, and it's going to be fun to watch. But Jay Johnson and Nate Yeske is going to have to figure this thing out. And then it depends on – Georgia's used a few different protections behind Charlie Conan this year. It kind of depends on who they throw behind him to protect him. And you got to decide whether or not you'd rather face that guy, which it's going to be, you know, Goldstein or Tate's or the Collins kid. But it's the whole chess match tomorrow is going to be fun to watch because you got to be smart about how you attack this offense.
Todd, I had a texter send me this in about your thoughts on Jared Jones. Of him as a baseball player prospect, and he certainly physically fits the part now. Man,
oh,
you take
goodness.
Look at that guy. So your thoughts on his development at LSU?
Isn't it funny, like, if you see him on TV, and I did this in the big leagues too, I got fooled so many times. Like, man, I've seen this guy on TV so many times. And then I walk in there, and, like, Moises Alou is so much bigger than you saw him on TV. You know, and even Craig Biggio, you know. Craig Biggio was so much bigger than he looks on TV. Jared Jones is a monster. I mean, just a beast. So to your question, you can't teach power. This guy, the kid's got power. What they will do is say, we can teach him how to hit. Like, in other words, not swing and miss 25% of the time, which is what he's doing right now, striking out 25% of his plate appearances. But we can teach him that, is what they'll say. And in this day and age in baseball, I don't think they even care. There is no two-strike approach anymore. You know, just hit me 25 home runs and drive in 80 to 100 runs in the big leagues, and you can stay for a long time. That wasn't the case when I played. I mean, you couldn't strike out. I mean, you had to put in play, move runners over to third with less than two outs if they're at second base, you know, or with no outs, that type of thing. Have a competitive at-bat with two strikes, but that's kind of gone away. But anyway, Jared, he's got a lot of ability, and the reason people get drafted isn't necessarily on what you're doing. It's what they can't teach that you have. And, of course, Jared Jones has the power that's not teachable, and he's extremely capable of hitting 30 home runs in the big leagues.
Todd, you know, sometimes when I'm looking at the SEC tournament bracket, to start with a single elimination, you know, day, but then also moving on to double elimination. And from there, it almost looks like hieroglyphics at some points. I was joking with Mike about that. But if they do, in fact, take down Georgia, we're talking obviously about LSU, they'd face the number three seed, which is Kentucky, who was, you know, I don't exactly know how they fell to the three seed. I think it was because Tennessee technically had the tiebreaker and then Arkansas won the SEC West because they're still working with divisions. But Kentucky had one of the best resumes of any team in the country this year with their quad one wins, their SEC record. What can you kind of tell us about the Wildcats if that is to be the Tigers' next opponent?
So SEC tournament is the winner of the West, the winner of the East is 1-2 seeds, regardless of their record.
Gotcha.
So Kentucky had a better record than Arkansas, but they were behind Tennessee because Tennessee beat them 2 out of 3. So
right.
Tennessee technically won the tiebreaker. So that's how that worked out. I don't think Kentucky really cares. All they care about is the fact that they're in that top four, which gets the bye the first day. And I think since 2013, there has not been a team win this tournament that did not get a bye. In other words, if you got the bye, those top four teams, those are the teams that have a chance to win this thing because they save pitching, you know, and a day of rest and whatever else. So Kentucky's in position. They've got Trey Pouzer was a transfer in. They've got Dominic Nyman was a transfer in, and they ended up being really good for him on the weekend. So you never know what you're gonna gonna get. They knew they were special players out of Central Connecticut State, and where they came from. So they knew they were talented, but you never know that they're gonna dominate in the SEC. And there's been times when Pouzer and Nyman has both been really good, but Mason Moore, they're three. Is the best pitcher on the staff. I mean, and he hadn't had a great year, but he has moments where he's just really, really electric. And so I think Kentucky is unselfish. They lead the team in least amount of strikeouts, on-base percentage, stolen bases, all these things that are what Skip Bertman used to talk about, how to win awareness, like how to win, how are we going to win this baseball game? And, you know, Nick Mangione has just created this atmosphere that the four-hole bunt for you. You know, I mean, try asking Ken Griffey Jr. to bunt for you. That ain't happening. But in Kentucky's lineup, these guys are all unselfish. They're going to do everything it takes to win a baseball game. And they got the highest batting average within the SEC, by the way. So, I mean, they put the ball in play consistently, and they're going to beat you, whether it's small ball or they can hit the ball at the ballpark, too. They've done really well, with home runs, too. So they're tough. And if Kentucky gets that point, I think the LSU would face Poozer, the right-hander that's had his moments. But, you know, he's up and down. I think they're beatable. That being said, I mean, again, back to what I said earlier, I can see a scenario where LSU can really make a run here, but they've got to get past tomorrow.
Tennessee is the other intrigue team because we've seen this team a couple years back. They looked to be – they were on the high road to win a national championship. And then I never saw so many Notre Dame people in my life cheer for them. Now, okay, we live in Catholic country, okay? There's a lot of Catholics here, but they ain't pulling for Notre Dame to win anything. And, you know, they ended up losing against the Irish. Your thoughts on Tennessee this year because – it looks as though they don't have certainly the talent of a couple years back, but they are a very talented and a very explosive baseball team.
Yes, they are. I mean, Christian Moore, who was hitting three-hole for them early in the year, they put him in the leadoff spot. Dude's got the all-time home run record at Tennessee, and that includes Todd Helton went there. Blake Burke hit a 480-foot shot last year in the Super Regional that I was doing at Southern Miss. I've never seen a ball hit that far live. Blake Burke has learned how to hit, go the other way. So those two in that lineup are ridiculous. We knew the offense was really good, but the pitching staff is starting to come along for Tennessee, and that's where the real deal is, and that's why they have been number one in the country, if they're not still number one. Drew Beam is a real ace. The lefty they got I'm drawing a blank right now, but the lefty they've got in the starting rotation is really good. And they've got A.J. Causey is the top 10 in the country in the conference in strikeouts, so he can get a lot of swing and misses. So they've got three frontline starters. They got bullpen guys. Kirby Cannell's been there what seems like 20 years. He's still in the bullpen there for them, left-hander with the mustache. And they've just become a complete team because that pitching staff has come along as the season has progressed. We always knew the offense was really good, but now they got the pitching and defense. And then, you know, they obviously love playing for Tony Vitello. And, you know, he creates this spark and this energy that not a lot of coaches can do, but Tony Vitello does it. And Tennessee is going to be tough to beat this year.
Last one for you, Todd, here. I want to get your thoughts. We talked a little bit about the five teams that finished with 13 wins. You mentioned that four of them are playing each other in the first round. They won the single elimination portion of the bracket. Alabama versus South Carolina, Vanderbilt versus Florida. What are your thoughts on those two games?
South Carolina's lost their last two series, and they got swept in both of them. So I don't know what's happening there, but it ain't good. And so when we talk about the 13-win teams, another thing the committee does is they see how you did at the end of the season. It weighs more on them than it does how you did at the beginning of the year. And South Carolina, for that reason, is not looking good. Alabama has been up and down. They've had a complete roller coaster ride. I mean, they have series wins over Tennessee and Arkansas, does Alabama. But then they got swept by Georgia, I think. I mean, they've had some rough series wins, too. So Alabama's hard to figure out. But they're a scrappy little group. The offense is really good. So I would expect Alabama to win that game. And then I've got Florida-Vanderbilt tomorrow night. Florida's like bottom of the barrel, which is unusual to see from a Florida team. They kind of suffered the same thing LSU after the big year they had last year with losing a lot of pieces to last year's team. You know, Wyatt Langford now playing in the big leagues for the Texas Rangers. He was on that Florida team last year. So Florida lost a lot of parts. I think they're dead last in team ERA, or at least offensively, within the SEC conference of the 30 games. So they just have not been able to put it together. Florida's got some talented arms. They just hadn't been able to do it. And then Vanderbilt, same thing. Like you expect them to be top five in all three major categories with the offense and the pitching staff and the defense. And they're bottom third in a couple of those categories, bottom half and the rest. So Vanderbilt just hadn't had a great year. There's no superstars there. RJ Austin, their second baseman, was the MVP of this tournament last year. He's hitting .319 with five home runs, so he's doing okay. But there's just nobody that'll scare you in that Vanderbilt lineup. So that'll be interesting, too, because clearly those are two other 13-win teams that we're talking about within the conference, and one of those teams is going to lose. And so that means that might mean their season's over. So that's a big game tomorrow between Florida and Vanderbilt. South Carolina, Alabama, also 13-win teams, same deal. Like, I don't know if South Carolina makes it if they lose because of the season-ending time they've had with the last two series, 0-6.
Todd, thanks so much for joining us. I know one thing. Man, come SEC time in the tournament, man, it's the Cracker Jack. You don't know what you're going to get as the prize.
No, sir.
What comes out of the box because
– Well, that's a great – and look, let me say this. In order to win championships, you got to have the talent, clearly, and you got to stay healthy. But the other major impact and why we got to – it's hard to predict these things – people do what you don't expect them to do. And this SEC tournament, A&M did last year with their pitching staff. This is a fun tournament because guys are going to start doing things you can't expect.
Todd, thanks so much for joining us. Man, always appreciate it, bud. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Todd.
Todd Walker, former LSU great, now on the SEC Network covering the SEC games. And, again, he's got tomorrow night's game late, Florida-Vanderbilt. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 and our Bet 365 triple option feature right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and it's our Bet 365 triple option feature where we give our top takes on the top stories in sports. Steve, you're next.
Well, guys, Saints OTAs are here, and a lot of players, Coach Dennis Allen along with Mickey Loomis, were at the Saints Hall of Fame golf outing today. This morning, Cam Jordan was asked, did he think that last year was a missed opportunity for this team after they, you know, went 9-8 with such an quote unquote schedule friendly, you know, schedule?
I feel like every year we're not in the playoffs is a missed opportunity. I'm in my second time going what, 3 years without playoffs. I think the first one was what, like 14, 15, 16, something like that, 15, 16, 17. And now we're in a stint where we have to get out this rut. And hopefully this is, like I said, this is the year we push for playoffs, and I don't want to push for playoffs. I feel like there's a Super Bowl in New Orleans, and if there is one here, then I feel like we should be there.
Lofty goals for Cam Jordan, of course. The Super Bowl going to be in New Orleans this year. Man, this team has missed the playoffs the last three seasons, like we know, and that dates back. The last time was the Greenbrier years when 14, 15, and 16 for this club. Hopefully it's not year number four because it has been an extensive drought already. And I know we've talked about it a lot about the start of this schedule. Looks pretty tough with this team. You can close out with a lot of winnable games there. But overall, looking at the schedule, another 9-win season kind of looks, you know, you looks to if you want to predict stuff right now,
okay.
I would say around 9 wins. And I don't know if that's going to be good enough for the NFC South.
Okay, you look at Sean's last year, 9 wins. Okay, and then DA took over, so
seven.
You get 7 wins, 9 wins.
Right.
Okay, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, where you fall in here. And have you made enough moves to get you out of football purgatory, to get you out of there, to get you double digits where you could get into the playoffs? You had a schedule that I'll never see again.
Like last year, right.
In my lifetime, to see the quarterbacks that you didn't play. I mean, good gracious, you were jackpot lucky and still end up with 9 wins. You got to have somebody put the battery cables on the battery. And, again, we brought it up, offensive line play, but I
the
was
biggest,
telling this
for sure.
to Charlie. My thing is the lack of a pass rush. Okay, you get 8.5 from Grandison, 6.5 from DeMario. Brian Brisset got 4.5. You didn't have no one else get – more than four sacks. It was 3.5. That's why Chase Young becomes a
big
huge
key, right?
factor here, along with getting Cam's health back. Okay?
Right, because he wasn't the same
No,
dude.
No. You could tell something wasn't quite right with him. So, man, when you can't put pressure on a better grade of quarterback that you're playing this year, you're in a lot of trouble.
Josh Dobbs, that's all I got to say to everybody after last season, right?
No, the damn thing to me is, and it's still unbelievable, you could have got the 10 wins. For three quarters, you had Green Bay. And it wasn't the Jordan Love you saw late in the year.
No.
It was the young guy, okay? And then in the fourth quarter, you saw him put on the Superman cape.
Boo.
And end up, boo is right. Jolly.
Guys, I'm going to congratulate my Louisiana Raging Cajuns for not only winning the Sun Belt regular season championship with a 23-7 record, three games above Jimmy's second place Southern Miss Eagles. By the way, they had this series win over them as well. But they also almost swept the accolades from the Sun Belt Awards. Looking at our friend Matt Deggs, friend of the program, won the 2024 Sun Belt Coach of the Year, leading the Cajuns to a 40-16 overall record. Once again, 23-7 in conference play. But then they also won these three awards too. Sun Belt Pitcher of the Year goes to LP Langevin, the Big Maple, the Quebecian kid that we always talk about when we're mentioning the Cajuns pitching staff. Their ace out of the bullpen, one of the top five relievers in college baseball. 97 strikeouts, a 163 opponent batting average, 33 hits allowed, and 57 2/3 innings pitched. 2024 Sun Belt Freshman of the Year, Chase Morgan, CMO, a 2.76 ERA, 202 opponent batting average, and 48 hits and 65 1/3 innings pitched. He kind of cemented himself as the Saturday starter for this team throughout the year. And then Kyle DeBarge, Debo, one of my favorite players in college baseball of all time, wins the 2024 Sun Belt Player of the Year, a 361 batting average, 21 home runs, 730 slugging, 1.15 OPS as well, guys. And he led this team, the vocal and spiritual leader of the Cajuns team that hit the 40-win mark and also won 23 conference games in one of the tougher conferences in college baseball. So congratulations to Matt Deggs, LP Langevin, Chase Morgan, and Kyle DeBarge. The Raging Cajuns with 40 wins this season are a lock for the NCAA tournament. It's about seeing where they go from here.
Congratulations to my boy Seth Thibodeau, too, assistant coach at UL. So he says sometimes I don't say good things about him, but okay, Seth, I said it. You did a good job this year. You didn't mess it up like I told Coach Tags. Hearts and prayers go out. Jim Otto passed away yesterday, one of the all-time greats in the NFL. When you put the Mount Rushmore of centers that have played in the league, Jim Otto was on there. He was on the NFL All 100 team, 10-time All-Pro, one of only 17 men to play in all 10 AFL seasons. And he started the Raiders franchise first 223 games at center. Never missed a game. And, man, when you think about seeing that double zero, you know, I was just a kid and in my teen years to watch Jim Otto play center. He was the drummer. He was the heartbeat of that team up front to keep. And not maybe the most mobile guys in the world healthy, but, you know, Daryl LaMonica, George Blanda, Kenny Stabler, and what he did for that organization. And here was a crazy thing about Jim Otto. He got really hurt a lot of times in college, and he went undrafted. And so he was an undersized center that had been hurt a lot. He puts on a little bit of weight, and he plays through that streak of 223 games. And, boy, at the end, you know, physically you could see it. It really took its toll on him. But God bless him. Man, Jim Otto, one of the all-time greats, and passed away yesterday and is one of the last two guys to wear the double zero. It was Jim Otto and a guy that started his career here in New Orleans and finished it in Houston, Ken Burrett, wide receiver. That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. We're finishing up here in our number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. I'd like to tell you, along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, a little after 6:20, we'll visit with beat writer for the Athens Banner-Herald, Mark Weiser. Talked again about LSU, Georgia. And if LSU wins that game, cements in my spot. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, We often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.